This is ABC News Daily. I'm Sam Hawley. Vladimir Putin's Victory Day speech failed to deliver what some experts expected. The announcement of the mass mobilization of millions of Russians to fight in the war in Ukraine. Instead, the Russian leader gave little away into what his next move will be as his forces continue the battle to take the east of the country. Today, former US State Department official and Russia policy expert Max Bergman on Putin's highly anticipated speech and how the war will end. Max Bergman, just take me to Moscow. Describe for me what's happening on this so-called Victory Day.
Well, this is an incredibly important day of commemoration, not just in Moscow and in Russia, but across Europe. And it commemorates the end of World War II in Europe, the defeat over Nazi Germany. And it's long been celebrated in the Soviet Union and in Russia. Everyone was really focused to see if Vladimir Putin would make some big announcement about the war in Ukraine. And instead, it was a fairly standard victory day.
За Россию! За победу! Ура!
Ура! They rolled out all the military kit. There was nuclear weapons on display. There were tanks. There were helicopters. I saw numbers of roughly 11,000 forces involved. That's, I think, about 1,000 less than the year before. But I think the real news is that there wasn't much news, that it looked pretty normal and typical, and Putin, while he talked about the war in Ukraine, did not make any major announcements.
Okay, so we've got, you know, thousands of soldiers marching through Moscow's Red Square. Putin gives a speech. And in a moment, I want you to step me through that speech. But first, I think it's important to get a sense of what we were expecting him to say, what he could have said during this speech.
Well, you know, there's sort of not unusual in Russian military history where Russia initially gets into a conflict or is invaded and does pretty badly and then mobilizes the entire society to come to the aid of that conflict. That's what happened against Napoleon. It's what happened in World War II. And in this case, that I think is the trump card, so to speak, that Putin has to play. That Russia is a much larger country than Ukraine and could call upon its vast reserves of manpower by reinstating the draft and calling for mass mobilization of the country to fight the war in Ukraine. Then Russia is really bringing to bear everything it has to defeat Ukraine. And that's what was feared. That's what the thought was that we were sort of building to this day. And then there was some speculation that we would see as sort of a middle course where Putin would sort of claim some sort of victory where he was desperately trying to sort of say that he's already sort of succeeded. Instead, we didn't really hear anything.
Уважаемые граждане России, дорогие ветераны.
So what did he say?
Well, what he said was that they were fighting in Ukraine and they were fighting Nazis. He sort of used that trope again, despite the fact Ukraine has a Jewish president.
За то, чтобы никто не забыл уроков Второй мировой, чтобы в мире не было места палачам, карателям и нацистам.
And said their sacrifice would not be in vain, those that had fallen, and said that effectively that Ukraine was at fault for the conflict. He shed some blame toward NATO.
Таким образом, планомерно создавалась абсолютно неприемлемая для нас угроза.
But in essence, he didn't really say anything that he hadn't said before. So it seemed like essentially we are staying the course, that Russia will continue to wage this conflict, and the people who are fighting it are doing it on behalf of Russia, and we are fighting this sort of foreign, vague foreign enemy.
So, Max, he's what, used this speech to try and appease Russians?
Well, I think this was a speech where I think he's you know, they're sort of content where the Russian public views the conflict, where there's broad support or overwhelming support, at least according to some fairly respectable Russian polling. And that it, upsetting that by then sending off, you know, people in Moscow, you know, boys in Moscow to go fight this war would be incredibly unpopular. Mm. And the problem with propaganda and with lies is, and that's what Putin has sort of fed the public thus far, is that the bigger the lie gets, the bigger the propaganda gets, and then suddenly your, you know, body bags are coming home. That, I think, is really dangerous to the regime. So that's not the path that he, I think he wanted to pursue with this speech.
Okay, so we've had this sort of stock standard V-Day speech from Vladimir Putin. It's given us really no sense of what he's thinking or where the war is heading. What can we expect in the weeks ahead?
Well, I think what we can expect in the weeks ahead are a really tough fight. And that is playing out right now in eastern Ukraine, in the Donbass region and its surroundings, where the Russians are trying desperately to make major gains. And I think part of that is Putin needs to show the Russian public that he will have succeeded in gaining control of the Donbass region, of these provinces of Donetsk and Luhansk. If he's not able to, at the very least, take these provinces, then it'll be a huge military defeat for him. Mm. And so what we're seeing is the Ukrainians now trying to, in parts of the front, trying to drive the Russians back, especially in the north near Kharkiv, and they're making some successes, while the Russians in other places are making advances. So this is a really touch-and-go situation where it's unclear how the battle will play out. A lot of people are predicting stalemate is the most likely outcome, and that very well may be. But, you know, the fighting still has to take its course, and this is why you see a fervent effort on the part of the U.S., Europe, and Australia to provide significant aid to Ukraine so that they can maintain this fight going forward. So it's still, I think, not that this is a game, but all to play for in terms of the military situation on the ground.
And by aid, I assume you mean weapons.
Yes.
Can Ukraine win in the East with the help of this aid, of these weapons from the US, from Europe, from Australia?
I think the military assistance that we've all provided, all of our countries, the US, Europe, Australia, and others, has been incredibly impactful. So Ukraine, with this weaponry, has been able to cause incredible damage to Russia's military, such that Russia still doesn't have air superiority, that and now we're providing heavier weapons, artillery, which then gives the Ukrainians the ability to hit Russian forces that are coming at them from greater distance, which then gives them greater protection. So I think it's been a real game changer and leveler in this fight, and one that I think the Russians didn't anticipate at all. So I think we're now kind of in a race. Both sides are just expending a ton of ammo. They are firing everything they have. Both sides are trying to maintain those sort of supply lines and industrial production to keep their forces supplied so they can make a difference on the battlefield.
Okay. So, I mean, Putin's speech, it was surprising in what it lacked. We didn't learn a lot from it, but we're pretty certain he won't be giving up in the east of Ukraine anytime soon. Max, when will we actually see an end to this war?
You know, it's anyone's guess. And one of the things that we have to remember is that in 2014, when Russia initially seized Crimea and stoked, you know, an insurgency and then invaded Ukraine in 2014, that war never actually ended. What you saw was the creation of a trench line, effectively World War II style, splitting eastern provinces of eastern Ukraine in half. And that may very well be the end result here, where this conflict becomes frozen, where neither side can make major gains, and it sort of becomes a stalemate. And I think that's where people are hoping that diplomatic negotiations could then start. But I think we're still a long ways away from there. We'll know a lot more by the end of the month. You know, if it sort of things look pretty similar as they do now, then I think it's a safe bet to say that we're, you know, in for the long haul in terms of how long this conflict will go.
Max Bergman worked in the US State Department under President Barack Obama and is now director of the Europe Program for the Center for Strategic and International Studies, a think tank in Washington. In a video released after Putin's V-Day speech, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, accused the Russian leader of repeating the horrific crimes of Hitler's regime. If you want to hear about why Russians are no longer protesting against the war, we spoke to a Russian human rights activist on April the 26th, and that's in your feed. This episode was produced and mixed by Chris Stengate. Additional production by Sydney Peed. Our supervising producer is Stephen Smiley. I'm Sam Hawley. ABC News Daily will be back again tomorrow. You can find all our episodes of the podcast on the ABC Listen app. To get in touch with the team, email us on abcnewsdaily@abc.net.au. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.